really hard to believe that we are in the last evening together. And I don't know what your thoughts are, but I have discovered that many times in serving and in attempting to share God's word, that we are blessed. And I just want to express our deep felt appreciation to you as a congregation. The prayers you've prayed, the words of encouragement that you've given, the fellowship that we have experienced here has been just really good. And we would just thank you and also say, if you ever get to Delaware, that is a state, by the way. It's not very big, but along the East Coast, we would welcome you to visit us in the little town of Dover, close to Dover. But just blessings to each of you. And we have so enjoyed just the worship times and the time of sharing together. And Steve, you said it well. The gospel of Jesus Christ is really the key. And the Apostle Paul, just over and over again, focused on the tremendous good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. And it's in the gospel that we are able to have power to be the people of God and to be the testimony of the grace of God to all of those around us. And so we just bless you and thank you, and we go with mixed feelings. We didn't know a lot of people when we came, but we feel like at this point we know quite a few of you, and the Lord bless you in your walk with Him. I'd like you to take your Bibles tonight. Go to John chapter 21. And as you turn to that, I would remind us that our God is the God of invitation. From God calling to Adam in the garden. And you recall how Adam had sinned, and Adam was hiding behind the trees of the garden. And you have the heartthrob of God saying, Adam, where are you? So from God calling Adam in the garden to Jesus calling his disciples to the words where he says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, to the last chapter of the Bible where the invitation goes out, I would remind us this evening that our God is the God of invitation. He's the God with the open hands. He's the God with the stretched out arms. He's the God who loves us and desires our richest blessing in life. And tonight for this last message, I'm looking at one of my favorite passages of Scripture. They talk about preachers having hobby horses. Walter Wilson said you can get off a horse, but I'm not sure you can get a preacher off a hobby horse. But this passage of Scripture illustrates in a way that I think is really interesting just the importance of our personal walk with Jesus Christ. And it comes out of a question and a conversation that Jesus has with his disciple Peter in verse 22. And here's the verse. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow, thou me. I've entitled the message this evening, what is that to thee? You follow, thou me. And so I would say to us that God reaches out to us over and over again. And as I told my children before they came to the age of accountability, I said to them, someday You're going to hear the voice of God calling you. And my encouragement to you when that happens is to listen to Him. And that's my encouragement to each one of us tonight, is that when God speaks to our heart, that we're ready to listen to Him. I want to read this chapter, beginning at verse 1, John chapter 21. You'll recognize the setting here after Jesus' death and resurrection. It says, "After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. They were together, Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the two sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. And they say, We also go with thee. They went forth, entered into a ship immediately, and that night caught nothing. And when the morning was come," think about that phrase. That phrase has tremendous significance. "And when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered Him, No. And He said unto them, Cast your net on the other side, or on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes." I just love this. "Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved looked at Peter and saith, Peter, that's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fish, 153. And for all that many, the net was not broken. Jesus saith, Come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask Him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus appeared unto His disciples after He was risen from the dead. And when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said to him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. And get this. He saith unto, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, He said unto him, follow me. Now Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, which leaned on his breast at supper, and saith, Lord, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow, thou me. So the message tonight is very simple. What is that to thee? You follow, thou me. And I would say to us this evening that I find at least four circumstances in this passage in which we need to hear those words, what is that to thee? You follow, thou me. The first one is this. What do you do when your dreams have been dashed? Now think about the disciples. They had left their nets to follow Jesus. They had been called by Jesus. They had dreamed and anticipated. And they had hoped. Their Messiah had come. He had taught them and he introduced to them the kingdom with the anticipation of them ruling with him. They had left their nets. They had left their fishing. They had left their family and occupations to follow this king. But now, there had been a betrayal. There had been a trial. There had been a cross. And there had been a death. Now what? What do we do now? And I could just visualize this scene in my mind. And Peter said, guys, you know what? We might as well go fishing. We might as well go fishing. I asked the question tonight, what do you do when your dreams have been dashed? Think of a young couple from our church who, after they were married, it went a number of years and they didn't have children. I wouldn't have been aware of the reason. But as time went on, I became aware that they had not been able to have children. At a carrying meal, one Sunday afternoon, I was talking to the wife. She had been a student of mine. And as she was talking to me, she was giving me all the benefits of not having children. But in the middle of her conversation, she broke into tears. What do you do when your dreams have been dashed? The goals and ideals of your life, where the dreams lay broken at your feet. When your dreams have been dashed, can you still hear the voice of Jesus saying, what is that to thee? You follow, thou me. Now let me just tell you, it's one thing for me to talk about that here tonight. You know, words are very cheap. It's very easy to utter the words, yes, I want to follow you. But let me tell you, when you're going through broken dreams, it's a whole different story to be able to rise to the occasion to follow Jesus. And I see the disciples, think of them that night out on the boat. And I think it was a pretty quiet bunch of guys as they were fishing that night. Secondly, what do you do when the fish don't bite? How many fishermen do we have here? Oh, we got a few. I like the fish, especially in Canada. We don't know anything about fishing in Delaware compared to up in the north. Took my sons and sons-in-law to Sterling Lake a couple, that's been 5 or 6 years ago. We caught so much fish. We had fish for breakfast, for dinner, and for supper. We almost got tired of fish. Nice, clean walleye. What do you do when the fish don't bite? Says that night they caught nothing. And as they were out there fishing, I can almost imagine that each of them were struggling with the thoughts of what could have been, of what should have been. And even the old tricks didn't work anymore. And the fish refused to bite. What do you do when nothing works anymore in your life? When the night's dark, when the night's long, I know what it is to wait for morning to come. As a young man, I struggled a lot with depression. Some nights I would try to sleep on the sidewalk. I know what it's like to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, not be able to sleep, get in my car and just drive aimlessly, trying to find some kind of comfort and console. What do you do when the night is long and the fish don't bite? And then there's this, and I just love this, but when the morning came, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And you get a picture here of something truly wonderful. In the morning, Jesus stood on their shore. And I want to encourage all of our hearts here tonight that in the darkness of night, when dreams have been dashed, when fish don't bite, that in the morning, Jesus will stand on your shore. I get a picture of heaven. You know what I see in heaven? And I can just visualize this scene. Particularly with people who have experienced one tragedy after another, things they don't understand, where everything seems to be upside down in this life. I get this picture of heaven's shore and these people seeing Jesus for the first time. And just like in the days of the disciples where Jesus stood on their shore, one day, I just get excited, one day Jesus is going to stand on the shore. And I see people running to Jesus and all of the things of life get wrapped up in the embrace of their Lord and Savior. And I'm just saying to us, Jesus will stand on your shore and on my shore when the morning comes. Then he asked this question. He said, "Children, do you have any meat?" And I'm like thinking, what a question. Children, do you have any meat? How does one answer that question? Do you say fishing is not going well? Do you say dreams have come and gone? Do you say Jesus has come and gone? Do you just pretend that everything's fine like we do with each other a lot of times when we ask each other how we're doing? By the way, one of the things that really troubles me about church is we don't feel safe many times with each other. We say all the right phrases to each other, but We're afraid to let people know how we're really doing inside. I've had people come up to me and they say, Dave, you know what? I'm a part of a congregation of people, but I'm a very lonely person. That should not be in the family of God. But we're afraid of what people will think if they really knew. You know what's funny about that? Sitting beside you tonight are people just like you. And I would venture to say that many of them know the very same struggles that you know. How much better it would be to walk together than to tough it out ourselves, thinking that we can. So what do you say? Children, do you have any meat? Well, maybe sometimes just simple honesty would be the best answer. And they said, no, we don't have anything. Then there comes this encouragement, if you can call it that. And I have to smile. Jesus said, well, why don't you cast your net on the right side? And you would say, thanks a lot. It seems like it would be no help at all. But sometimes in the darkness of night, sometimes in the difficulties of life, I would remind us that simple obedience is the best choice of all. And it really gets exciting here. And all of a sudden, you have this conversation going on, and you have these disciples working through this scenario, and Jesus saying, do you have any fish? And they said, no. And he said, well, cast your net on the other side. And all of a sudden, there is a dawning and a realization. There's this question, who is that guy? Now I want you to think about what the disciples have been through. I want you to think about what their feelings might have been. And all of a sudden, who is that? And you got to love Peter. I know he gets himself in all kinds of trouble, but you know what? This is the second time that Peter was the first one out of the boat. The one time he said, Jesus, if that's you, you bid me to come to you on the water. And Jesus bid him to come. And Peter is, you know what? I just love Peter. Peter demonstrates for us tonight, people, the yearning of every heart. When Jesus was about to be crucified, Peter said, Lord, can I go with you? I want to go with you. And Jesus said, you can't go with me yet. And I can just see Peter in this situation being at the end of himself, and all of a sudden he realizes that's Jesus. And you know what? As soon as he realized that, he was finished with fishing. There was nothing going to keep him from his Lord and his Master. And you just got to love it. Peter just jumps out of that boat, and I can just see him going to his Master. Isn't that amazing? We get hard on Peter. But let me tell you something. There's something about his response to life that just blesses me. Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to be with you. And fishing was simply a diversion. What do you do when your dreams have been dashed? What do you do when the fish don't bite? And here, what do you do when you have nothing to show for your efforts? Actually, not a bad place to be. It's actually a very good place to be, because it puts you in a position to be able to be blessed by the Lord. And so, Jesus makes a meal, and he gives to his disciples. And we come to the third thing. What do you do when your commitment is challenged? Jesus said, Peter, got a question for you. Do you love me? And I'm not going to go into the meaning of these words because there is a bit of a difference between the meanings of Peter's response here, but just look at the question itself. Peter, do you love me? Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus asked Peter two more times about his commitment to the Lord. Simon, do you love me more than these? And I ask this question, what do you do when your commitment is questioned? We would call this a tough relational encounter. Peter could have said, well, Jesus, could you at least talk to me in private? Don't be doing this in front of all my peers. But Jesus persisted. Peter, do you love me? What about you? How much do you love Jesus? Where is your commitment to Christ tonight? And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Can you serve without recognition and without praise? Can you lay aside the garments of pride and prestige? Can you pick up a towel and a basin and wash dirty feet? Can you hear Jesus saying above the fray, what is that to thee? You follow me. But in the fourth place, what do you do, people, when your pathway leads to a cross? What do you do when your pathway leads to a cross? If you recall what I said one night, I was talking to our young people here and in a group this size, with all of the dreams and goals that we have for life, what we think should be, what we think could be in our lives, some of us sitting here, God's going to allow or even lead them into some deep waters. Things that you would not ask for. I know what it is to look in the mirror and ask God, why did you make me this way? You ever feel that way? Think you could have done a little better job? Why did God make me emotional? You already know I'm emotional. What's God's purpose in the way He has put us together? My dad told me recently, he said, Dave, I wish you didn't have to live under a cloud. Now, some of you can't imagine me living under a cloud because I smile a lot and all that. Well, talk to my wife. You know what? I've come to believe that part of the path of life for this guy right here, part of my path in life, part of the cross that I carry, is to live under a bit of a cloud most of the time. I know what it is to wake up early in the morning and wrestle with issues, with people, with circumstances, and try to fix things. What do you do when your pathway leads to a cross? And I can just see Peter. He's already told the Lord. He said, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And then Jesus turns to him and said, now, Peter, when you were young, isn't this interesting? He said, when you were young, you did what you wanted to do. You went where you wanted to go. You were able to direct and control your life. But he said, there's going to come a time where people are going to take you where you don't want to go. And you're going to die in a way that you wouldn't choose to die. Now, I don't know about you, but my humanity starts to rise to the surface. You ever wondered about life? Peter was very, he said, well, Lord, what about John here? I could just think of his, he said, you've questioned me in front of everybody, and now you're telling me I'm going to lead, my pathway is going to go to a cross, and you haven't said anything about John. And guess what? If I understand correctly, John died a natural death. Peter was crucified upside down. You ever looked at other people and your own circumstance of life and said, well, what about him? Yeah. You have to kind of agonize over Jesus' answer. He said, you know what, Peter? He said, if I will that he tarries till I come, what is that to thee? You know, people, I want you to know something. The gospel has the power and the provision to overcome any situation and circumstance in life that a person may go through. And I just love what Edith Schaefer, I'm not going to say this is the way it is, but Edith Schaefer pictures heaven this way, and I love it. She pictures heaven like a museum of saints. And she says, she doesn't believe Satan will get one victory at all, ultimately. Because for every circumstance that Satan can go to God and say, you know what, God, if you let me do this to so-and-so, they're going to curse you to your face and they're going to turn their back on you. I believe in heaven, we're going to see every kind of conceivable circumstance that mankind can go through. People who went through that, and guess what? They did not curse God. And they did not lose faith. They did not turn their back on him. So in that sense, Satan doesn't get one victory, even though there are those who would have cursed God and turn their back on him. There's something about that that just encourages and blesses me. I'm saying to us, the gospel enables a person to rise above whatever circumstance, whatever situation, whatever hardship, whatever difficulty. The gospel enables us to rise above those things and to be able to hear and follow the words of Jesus when he says, what is that to thee? You follow thou me. Can you trust your life? Can you trust your future with the one who knows all about crosses? Guess what? Jesus predicted Peter's death, but Jesus himself knew what it was like to face the cross. Can you trust yourself to the one who knows about crosses, about inequities in life, about suffering and dying to self? Can you hear his voice calling above the dashed dreams, calling above the dark nights, calling above the tough relationships, calling above the crosses, saying to us, what is that to thee? You follow me. And tonight, that voice still calls out, The invitation still stands open to follow Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never accepted the Lord. I would just encourage you with all that I know that you can trust God with your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're going through dreams that have been dashed. Maybe things aren't working in your life right now. The fish aren't biting. Maybe you feel like your commitment is being questioned by your peers or by those around you. And maybe your pathway is leading you to a cross. The invitation still rings out. What is that to thee? You follow, thou me. For the invitation tonight, I'd like us to sing that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And I would just encourage you, if you, in your heart, despite the circumstances of your life, despite where you find yourself, or perhaps you've never committed your life to Christ, and God speaks to you and you want to commit your life to Christ, I would just like to invite you to come forward as we sing this song together, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Let's stand together. And after prayer, we'll sing. Father, we thank you for the call to follow you. We thank you that call is beyond and above all of the circumstances that we face in life, and that we can trust you with our lives. And I thank you for this congregation. You know each of our hearts. You know the circumstances and situations in which we find ourselves this evening, and I pray that you would encourage us and help us to be able to hear that call and to respond to it with commitment and with trust. And Lord, we want to give you the honor and glory, for you alone are worthy. You have done so much for us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, if you feel the Lord speaking to your heart, I would just ask you to come forward in a commitment that you are determined by God's grace to follow the Lord Jesus wherever it leads and whatever it does in your life. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Now think about this next verse. The cross before me, the world behind me. What's the motivation of your heart and your life this evening? The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, turning back. And as a closing admonition to all of us tonight, refuse. Don't let Satan get you to throw in the towel. Refuse to quit. Remember that God's grace and His power is available as we turn to Him. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and care for each of us. Pray for our brother who's responded. Lord, I pray that you would meet the need of his heart in a special way tonight. May he sense your presence and your peace. and your power in his life. And for all of us here, Father, help us to be faithful in spite of the circumstances of life. Help us to know how to hear your voice and to know that we can trust you with all of the circumstances of life. Would you bless this congregation in special ways? Bless the leadership here. Lord, I pray that you'd protect them from evil, and I pray that you would use this congregation to minister to the needs of a broken and a lost world. Help us to share the good news of the gospel with those around us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.